everybody. It's PodQuest episode 148.
I almost screwed that up again.
It's all right. It's Tuesday, June 20th, 2017, and I'm Chris, and on Skype with me are Drew and Walnut.
Hey, I'm here. What's up?
How are you guys doing?
I'm ready for bed.
Yeah, well, Walnut, you had a crazy-ass weekend.
Yeah, it was long, it was hot, I'm sunburnt,
I'm
tired.
You started off on Wednesday, right? Like, that was the day you left?
We got to the campsite at about 10 o'clock in the morning Wednesday. The festival doesn't start until Thursday.
I mean, that kind of makes sense. You get there, you get settled, get all your shit set up. This way, if there's anyone playing Thursday, you're not missing them.
Yeah. It's nice, but it's also... we pay the extra to get the premium camping, which is the day before. Our campsite, because we get there at 10 o'clock in the morning, our campsite is literally less than 5 minutes from the primary stage of the show.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Which anybody who's listening, if you don't know already, because I've been going the past 4 years, this is my fourth time going, we're talking about Firefly down in Dover, Delaware. The first year we went, we got normal camping. We got tons of food at our campsite, but none of us ate any of it because we were so far away from a campsite. It's at least a half-hour walk. It just wouldn't have been worth it.
Jeez.
So, like, we started doing this our second year, and it's way, way worth it. Because where the show is have any of you ever been to the racetrack down there?
I have.
All right, so, Drew, next to the racetrack, there's a bridge that goes over a highway. Have you ever seen that?
Yeah.
Okay. On the other side of that bridge is where the festival grounds are. Now, during like the racing seasons and stuff, they use that as campground. Well, they turn the parking lots and stuff into the campgrounds for the festival and the campgrounds into the festival grounds. So the parking lot for the racetrack itself across that bridge is also the regular camping. We camp behind the festival grounds on the other side of the bridge. But if you're on the side of the bridge with the racetrack, you have to go around and up the bridge, and it takes at least a half hour to get there. So that's like the normal camping, which is cheaper than going that Wednesday, but it's just not worth the walk.
Yeah, a half hour walk to the stages and back just doesn't seem.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, that's a lot of walking.
Beneficial.
It is a lot of walk. I mean, you're on your feet pretty much the entire weekend, but
yeah.
It was a good festival. I saw a bunch of bands, a couple bands I really wanted to see. Got excited and happy to see some. Got disappointed to see others.
That sounds like music.
Yep.
Well, I mean, for instance, I used to be a fan of 30 Seconds to Mars. Then I realized how much of a terrible frontman Jared Leto is, and how bad they are live. I have no inkling to ever listen to them ever again.
I've seen them before. They're not that bad live. They actually put on a good show when I saw them.
I mean, it might just be because it's a festival, and he's not like they're not a festival band. They're not used to it. But he just nonstop talking, like not really good crowd interactions. Get 3 seconds into a song, cut off the entire damn band, be like, nope, stop. You weren't excited enough. Get more excited. Constantly stopping people. Now this show holds 90,000+ people and would stop a show and pull people up on stage, which that's great, but that's a long walk to get somebody from like the back or midpoint all the way up to the stage, to where then they would have to just kill time. You get an hour to perform, and in this hour you have to dazzle us. He just wasn't dazzling us.
Yeah, I mean, I saw them at like an actual just a normal concert. It wasn't a festival. And
yeah,
it was like 2 or 3 years ago. About 3 years ago, probably. Yeah, they actually put on a pretty good show.
Yeah. All right, so maybe like their own shows is fine.
Yeah, you can't really judge most bands from festival. Like,
I use Firefly as a demo of who I would want to actually go and see in their own show. And like, for instance, I'm not a big Muse guy. I do like Muse. Muse was there. I will go see them because they put on like a very pretty and nice show. Their light show wasn't as spectacular as I thought it was going to be, but it was still like their visuals that they had behind them and the monitors and stuff were really cool, to where I would pay to go see a show of theirs just by themselves. But watching or being there for 30 seconds of Mars, I was just like bored. Just it wasn't that great.
Yeah, festival shows are so weird because, you know, bands are on constricted time limits. They're not setting up their own stages and whatnot. Like,
well, plus you have that
normally has a way bigger setup from what I've heard.
Yeah, and like, Muse, oh, well, Muse is also the type of band that plays huge venues, so they're used to playing for just outrageous numbers of people.
Yeah, they're used to playing for 90,000 people. They know what you need to do when you're at a festival.
When I saw 30 Seconds to Mars, it was at the Susquehanna Center in the winter, so it was just the inside.
Yeah, so probably 20,000 people.
Not even.
Yeah, no, that place doesn't even fit that many.
Six, seven when it's just indoors?
Yeah. It may hit, like, the 10.
Yeah, maybe. But yeah,
that's a fairly small venue when it's all closed up.
Yeah. So I saw a ton of bands.
Well, you can talk about all those bands in a little bit.
Yeah.
Because as we discussed a couple weeks ago, we're going to kick the show off with news.
Oh, yeah, news. That's right. We do that differently now.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you had a week off, and last week was E3, so it was pretty much all news.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, so let's get into a little news before we get into all the music Richie loved and didn't like.
Yeah, sure.
So first thing I have is IO Interactive is officially an independent studio, and they retain the rights to Hitman.
I did see that.
Nice.
That's pretty cool.
So I don't, Rich, I don't know if you heard what was going on. Square Enix was the owner of IO Interactive, who put out last year's Hitman that people really enjoyed. In a normal Square Enix move, they decided that Hitman didn't do well enough for, so they wanted to sell off the studio. Nobody was sure at the time if that meant Square was going to keep Hitman. It's canceled. Like, they had no idea what was going on. At one point, I think like a week after they announced that they were looking to sell them, they said another statement got released that they were willing to sell the Hitman rights with them, basically. And during E3, it came out that IO, I guess they bought themselves. I'm not exactly sure how it all went down, but they are no longer owned by anybody, and hopefully since Hitman Season 1 did well, pretty well, and it has a pretty good following, they won't have any issue finding a publisher when it comes time for that, which I'm sure they won't. Like, I'm sure, like, EA or somebody will snatch them up, Activision maybe. I don't know who, because I don't think Square originally owned the rights to Hitman, so I'm not sure who would have been publishing.
I'm not sure who had Hitman. I feel like it was always Square.
No.
That's
a good question.
I think it's been Square for quite a while, but I'm not sure, like, how long. Because, I mean, there have been a lot of freaking Hitman games.
I mean, if they were able to buy themselves out of or into being their own company again, they might be able to buy back the rights.
It was Eidos.
They didn't buy themselves out. Square was just like, we don't want you anymore. You lose us money. Go away.
Oh, is that really just all that happened? They weren't even worried about the money that they were losing. They would lose by losing the publisher. They just wanted to cut their losses, or the developer.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Wow.
I mean, and they were trying to maybe sell them off, but yeah, like, it was a, you lose us money, we need to take you off the books. Goodbye.
That makes sense then. But yeah, they used to be published by Eidos, which is how Square got the Hitman rights, because Square bought Eidos back in like 2009.
Yeah.
So,
okay.
Their original publisher can't be their publisher again, unless they worked out some sort of deal for Square to still publish the game as they develop it, because at that point Square would make the money off of publishing, but they wouldn't be paying for the development anymore.
Okay.
So who knows?
Yeah.
But you know, that's kind of cool, because I only played a little bit of that Hitman game. It was neat though, but like the content that was out there on the internet of people playing it was some of just the best game content I've seen.
Yeah.
Just because it was such an open game that, you know, you had your mission objective and you just had to figure out a way to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, killing somebody with an exploding toilet.
Yeah. Or dropping a toilet on their head.
And then blowing it up.
And yeah. In related news, the first chapter is free now.
I did see
on
that.
All platforms.
I didn't know if that was like the full first chapter or if it was just like the beta that they had released last year.
Maybe it was that.
I know the beta was just like the two training missions. It was the boat and the hangar.
Mm-hmm.
Well, while you're checking that, I will move on. Diablo 3's Rise of the Necromancer pack thing launches next week.
Lame.
Well, says you, the guy who still pays for Final Fantasy 14 even when he's not playing it.
Hey, they just came out with an expansion that I don't have the money to get. So.
Oh, and how much is that expansion?
probably 40. I don't know. I haven't looked into it.
The Necromancer is $14.99.
Isn't it? It's just the character. The character, though, isn't it?
Yeah, the Necromancer is just a character, whereas the expansion is a full story content that'll give me at least 2.5 years of use.
Yes, 2.5 years of use of that experience.
That you don't play for 6 months at a time, but still pay for, right?
Yeah. That's my choice. It's like your credit card.
Mister, I don't have any money, man. If you would fucking cancel Final Fantasy for those months you're not playing...
I would have bought $15 more worth of food.
Well, that's what I mean. Like, if you would have taken that 15 and, like, just put it aside, you wouldn't have a ton of money, but you'd have enough to, like, do some shit.
I would have bought $15 more worth of food.
I mean, that's not a bad thing. That's $15 more worth of food in your house.
But it probably would have just been more expensive food instead of the cheapo shit.
I mean, that's not bad either. You're taking better care of yourself by buying better food.
Oh, no, I still take good care of myself.
That's debatable.
It is. It's true. I lost 50 pounds in a year.
Well, good job, then.
See, son? Come on, son.
But yeah, so Necromancer gets released next week. Like Drew said, $15 on all platforms for just that. If you wanted it on PlayStation 4 or Xbox, you can actually get a special deal for $40 where it's actually got the base game plus Reaper of Souls plus this for 40, like I said, instead of the normal 60.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of cool if you're still into Diablo.
But I have Reapers of Souls for it. What can I get for that for the PS3?
Do you have it on PS3 or PS4?
PS4 or whatever Eric bought it for me.
So if you have the $15 PS, yeah, if you have the PS4 one, it's just $15 to get Necromancer.
$15 for a character though?
And two more character slots and a pet and portrait and wings.
So $15 for a character though?
Yes.
That's not worth it.
Yeah, but it's a whole nother round of the game with a new class.
Yeah, so I can replay a game now obviously I'm not a fan of Diablo, but I can replay a game I've already played however many classes there are, plus however many seasons there's been, another time with another class.
Yep.
For $15 more.
So answer me this, and I'm just playing devil's advocate here. Yeah. How many times have you run the same dungeon in Final Fantasy to get like enough tomes or whatever?
Daily, whenever I play. So say I play for a month, it's 30 times in that month.
So you play the same content 30 times in a row, basically.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's not that different. It just comes down to preference.
Yeah, oh, no, I'm just saying, like, yeah, I spend, it's actually more like $12 a month to play Final Fantasy, and I'm playing, yes, the same content at endgame, but every 3 months they're giving me updated story content. Some of it may be worthwhile, some of it might not be, but it's generally new story stuff, and every 3 months I'm getting new dungeons and new things to go into and enter into, and new content.
So for so play the same dungeon content 90 times if you play 3 months in a row before new content's released.
Essentially, probably not, though. Because if anybody is good at the game and knows how to do it, you're really only playing 4 times a week. So 4 times, what is it? 4, 8, 12, 4 times 12? 48 times. 48 times per cycle, you essentially. But there's two dungeons generally that they release each patch. So you cut that in half, 24 times each cycle you're playing the same dungeons, because you should be able to cap out on your tomes by like the fourth, maybe the fifth time. And that also includes running your weekly raids as well and things like that, which weekly would be 12 times for each raid section.
So, I mean, really, over the course of 3 months, you're really playing the same content over and over again.
Yeah.
So it's not
for $36.
So it's not that different than the $15 to like run through Diablo a couple of times as a necromancer. Like they're not the same, but they do kind of are similar depending on what your preference is to what you want to play.
Yeah, but like I said, my $15 a month goes towards them working on story content, fixing server issues and the such. I really do not care about cosmetic shit. I don't care about a house. I have 9 million gil, and I don't need any more or less than that. I play the game for the story content and social interactions with whoever I play with. When it comes to Diablo, paying $15 for a character with no new story content, no new gameplay content, just all cosmetic
shit. I mean, there's new gameplay content, and as in there's an entire new character with new skills and new items.
But there's nothing new for you to experience besides the new character. There's no new... Like, yes, the character is going to essentially have slightly new mechanics, but I mean, it's a necromancer. You're going to be sitting there summoning skeletons or shooting teeth at people.
I mean, not that that's but not also, true, but it is a different way to play the game.
Yeah. Play the game that you point and click for.
Okay, I mean...
I mean, that's kind of like you hit macros in Final Fantasy.
You use your attack rotation and you dodge attacks and blah, blah. Yeah, I mean, every game will boil down to the same thing. It's just what everyone's preferential... form of entertainment is. I have a very biased opinion on Diablo where I think it's just boring clicking.
Whereas I'm biased the other way and have played almost 600 hours and have spent 100... Well, I bought the collector's edition of base D3, so I spent like 100 on that. But, you know, for... Even if I had bought the base editions, it would have been $115 for 5 years that I've been playing this game.
Yeah, I mean, at least for me, it's... I would rather play Diablo where I can play it either by myself or with somebody if I so choose. But, like, I don't need to do anything with anybody else. I can kill shit and get loot. Like,
yeah.
Like, that's what I want to get cool stuff, and I don't want to be forced into a position where I have to play something for several hours with another person.
And I, for 14, I've never had to play something for several hours. Just saying. Yes, I've had to play with some other people, but I've never been stuck in the same dungeon for more than an hour tops.
I mean, some of the early content takes, like, upwards of 2 hours when you were first going through it.
Yeah, when you were first going through it back then, but
even then, like, I don't want to play, like, I don't want to be stuck in something where, like, I have to know that I have an hour to play something, where I also have to find a group of people to play it with. That, like, I mean, again, my preference, like, I don't like that. That is not fun for me. I would rather play, like, Diablo, because really, when you boil them both down, they're not that different.
No, I mean, when you boil it all down, no game is really that much different than any other game. It's just, it's preferential, though. In my opinion, there is more strategy towards Final Fantasy than there is towards Diablo. However, I will acknowledge Diablo's numbering system and things like that with their abilities. I just think because a lot of stuff is passive and essentially you are attacking with just the two same abilities over and over and over again, it's not as fun as something where I have an attack rotation in Final Fantasy. I'm constantly keeping an eye out for new enemies and what they're attacking and the animations they're making and what's being said on the hotbars, so I know where to move and where to step and when to not get attacked so I don't die.
But I mean, like, again, like you said, it's all opinion. Like, what you just said basically sounded exactly like Diablo, because really, when it comes down, like, the way I played Final Fantasy was, like, 1 through 7 were all my attacks, and most of them were macros, where, like, I would hit 7, and it would cast all, like, the buffs, and then I would hit 6, and it would cast all of the other things. Like I didn't have to really do anything, I just hit a button, and it did everything for me.
Yeah, but you're using 7 buttons as opposed to 2 or 3.
Diablo is a 6-button game.
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't using 7 buttons. It was literally, like, 1 through 5 were, like, the individual things, and then 6 and 7 were the macros. I basically just used 6 and 7.
You're using healer, correct?
Well, healer or DPS. I played a magic class, so, I mean, I know it's different. I've played enough MMOs to realize that. I'm just saying, like, my experience with Final Fantasy is not that different from my experience with Diablo, except for, you know, one you're forced to play with other people, the other one you can play with or without other people.
And I mean, like, yes, MMOs are inherently more complex, but, like, at some point they get to the point where they're not, when you are just, hey, here's the 5 skills that are useful in this dungeon, let me use these.
At the beginning, yes, when you're playing early level content in Final Fantasy, it is boring. But when you get to the end level content and the expansion that came out 2 years ago, not this new one, obviously I haven't played it yet, it adds a level of strategy with the level 60 abilities and ideals of timing and things like that that you have to pay attention to. Especially, I will 100% admit, Black Mage at level 50 was the most boring thing ever because it was fire and ice. That's all you cast. Black Mage at level 60, still very similar with fire and ice, but it's now fire 4 and ice 4. But you have an ability that increases your damage that you have to cast, and that has a cooldown timer. You have to watch your cooldown timer, make sure to keep your fire buff on so that you can keep casting fire 4, because you need your fire buff to cast fire 4, as well as this ability that increases your attack damage. But if you lose, there's a lot more of a complexity with the later levels of Final Fantasy that the combat system is, or at least for Black Mage and any other class I've played up to 60, it makes it a lot more like you have to be paying attention a lot more. You can't just be sitting there pressing the same buttons.
So now maybe it's just because I haven't played Diablo in a long time, but Drew, isn't that basically the same thing you have to do in Diablo?
Yeah. Like, I mean, depending the class you're playing, like, some classes are really heavy on their cooldowns on skills. And then, like, the thing I like about Diablo is, more than most MMOs, is that the way they did Diablo 3 with not having to, like, assign skill points to your different abilities or whatever, made it so when you find a new piece of gear that is like, oh, well, it does this crazy buff to whatever spell, you can just go like, oh, well, fuck, I know I've not been using that thing this whole time. Let me go try this new thing and completely rebuild, like, respec my character real quick and just change all the different skills I'm using and have a new way to play this character. But, like, you know, things are on cooldowns. You're using the different abilities. It all depends on, like, how your character is built out and what gear you have, just like any MMO.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a while since I played Diablo 3, and...
Yo, let me tell you, Diablo 3 is a fucking real good game.
I played through it on the PC and on the PS4, and once I beat it, I had no push to go back. Yeah, I mean, so I was like, okay, I mean...
That's how I felt about Final Fantasy 14. Once I reached that first, like, level cap, I lost all interest in it.
But here's the thing with Final Fantasy 14, they've added new story content, they've added new things. I played through Reaper of Souls in Diablo, and I have no interest in playing again.
No, I get that. I'm just saying, we have the same opinion, just reverse. Like, I understand that Final Fantasy released new content. I'm not saying it didn't, I'm not saying that content's bad. I'm just saying, like, I hit that first level cap and literally lost all interest in that game. Like, I thought about going back to it when the new story content was released, and I realized that I just don't want to. I don't want to play those mechanics anymore, be in that world anymore. But with Diablo, I am happy to go back and play as just a new character through the same content I'm familiar with, because I think it's fun. Except for Belial, fuck that guy.
Get good gear, and then you can just fucking...
That's just one of those
he
fights.
He sucks. Like, he's the Axiom boss,
not a
so
fun,
he sucks.
It's just no. Not a fun fight.
Me and Vogel played him earlier, and the gear I have on my wizard, I basically completely stun-locked him, and he never did anything.
Nice.
The whole fight. Like, he kept going to bring his arm down and slam it right on Vogel, and it would stun and loop back to the beginning of the animation, and I'm like, yes!
Like, I have actually played a couple characters up to that point, and then just stopped playing, just not even because, like, Belial is too hard, just because, like, it's like, all right, I've gotten my fill of Diablo for the time being, and I just don't want to deal with that fight because it's boring.
Yeah.
And it's a shame, because I like the content that comes after that. It's just, like, that is that fight that is just such a grind, because it is just, you know, he does, like, those AoE effects where you have to make sure that you're, like, you're on the right tiles, and eventually you're just going to be fucked because you're going to be in the corner and the open spot's going to be on the other fucking side of the room.
Yeah.
Just get
good. That's why adventure mode is great, because then you could just never actually fight Belial if you wanted to.
True. But yeah, let's move on. Rich, this might actually interest you a little bit. Actually, the next two things I have might interest you.
Oh, boy.
The Prompto DLC comes out on the 27th for Final Fantasy 15.
Ah, screw it.
It's going to be third-person shooting.
Screw it.
Description I heard was that it was very Metal Gear Solid-esque.
Like, I kind of want to get the DLC for What's-His-Name and the Prompto DLC, but I feel like I'm going to have to replay through the game in order to do those.
Why?
Because, what's his name? I can't remember his name now. Gladio. His DLC was, like, is during the main campaign before you leave to go to Lucia.
Yeah, but I don't think this stuff just runs in the story. I think it's actually, like, from, like, a separate menu.
Yeah, which that also drives me nuts. Like, when I went in to play the Chocobo Festival, and you had to leave the game to go to the Chocobo Festival, I was like, that's bullshit.
Oh, I forgot they did that.
I should be able to play it in-game. Now, yes, you get all your items that you got in a Chocobo Festival in-game, but still, like, I should be able to just activate it in-game. Let me go to camp and be like, hey, there's this Chocobo Festival. You want to go back to that memory? Sure. And you'd load up. Or do you want to go back to the memory and have Gladio tell you his adventures fighting Gilgamesh? All right, I'll do that, or whatever. Yeah, I think it was Gilgamesh.
I was going to say, is that what, because that his thing is what happens when he leaves the party for a little bit, isn't it?
Yeah, and he goes and fights, I believe I heard he goes and fights Gilgamesh or something.
See, I am right there with you. Like, I want to do it, but I probably won't do it. But not because of, like, the whole, that, like, what you just described. It's more just, I'm done the game. And
yeah,
there wasn't enough of a draw to the game to make me want to go back to it.
Yeah, like, I platinumed the game. The combat system was fun. But in this new content, you're going to be playing as Gladio and you're going to be playing as Prompto, which you miss out on half the battle mechanics because you don't have the Warp Strike.
Yeah, exactly. And I don't know. It's one of those things where, like, the further I got from that game, just the more sort of...
Yeah.
Meh. I became, like, I was never, like, singing its praises super loud in the first place. Like, it was fun. I had a time playing it, but, like, by the end of it, it was just kind of like, all right, cool, it's over. Stick with me or anything.
Yeah, like, I had a good time playing it. I enjoyed playing it. I was very underwhelmed with the ending, and I thought the story was a read between the lines, kind of like, we're not going to tell you straight up. You kind of have to just piece it together yourself by whatever you believe.
Yeah, I mean, frankly, when an MMO has a better story than, like, a game that's supposed to be story driven, because I mean, yeah. 14, from what I remember of just, like, the first part of, like, it was A Realm Reborn, right?
Yeah.
You cut out for a second there, by the way.
Oh, sorry.
No, I heard him the entire time.
Oh, weird.
Yeah, it's going to be fine on. Gonna be fine on the recording, don't worry, just let it go.
But yeah, so what I remember of A Realm Reborn story was actually it was compelling. That's why I ended up getting through all of it so quickly, because I wanted to see what happened next. Like,
yeah.
Final Fantasy, like, I think most of my time was spent doing side stuff because I just didn't give a fuck about the story.
No, yeah, exactly. Like, the story was subpar at best, and I have no push to go back and play the side character stories because it just wasn't good enough. I feel nothing for the characters.
Well, in that case, then I apologize. I thought maybe you'd be interested in that one.
No, no, it's fine. It's fine. I understand.
You may be this next one. I think will actually make you feel a little special in parts.
You're 0-1 right now. So let's see.
Pokemon Go is revamping gyms with some interesting bonuses.
Oh, yeah, they're incorporating raids and shit.
Yeah, it's like gym-based raid battles that if you win enough, apparently, you can potentially get legendary Pokemon.
Yeah, so I read a little bit up on this today, not too much. You might have more info on it than I do. But essentially what's going to happen once they launch this update, which should happen some point the end of this summer, every time you enter and visit a dungeon, you get a gym, you get a raid pass, a gym pass. Then if somebody on your team, if you go to a gym and you see like an egg on top of it or something, you can go and use your gym pass to combat that egg, and it's going to be a special Pokemon. Up to 20 people can do that, and I'm assuming it's only on your team, it's on your color. Up to 20 people can do that, and if you defeat it, you're going to get special berries and things like that, special candies. I'm trying to think what else. A possibility to get that Pokemon. So if it's a Zapdos, Zapdos or Moltres or any of those legendaries or Mewtwo, whatever, you're going to catch that Pokemon. You may catch that Pokemon if you defeat it. if your raid team defeats it. I'm not sure if you need to have the 20 people with you or just 20 people collectively have to do it.
It just says up to 20 people can take part in raids, so that sounds like it doesn't need to be the 20.
Yeah.
And so like you said, if you beat that Pokemon in the raid, you'll have a chance to catch it along with a golden raspberry.
Yeah, well, there's going to be golden raspberries, there's going to be rare candies, and then there was something else. So the golden raspberries are just like the regular raspberries. They make it easier to catch a Pokemon. The rare candy, you feed it to a Pokemon, and it multiplies the candies that you already have for that Pokemon. I don't remember what the other item is.
Yeah, I don't see it in here, but I mean, this thing goes on to say that like gyms are being changed a lot too. Like the prestige system is going away.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's going to be, like, gyms can only have a maximum of 6 defenders.
Okay.
You're going to have to periodically go back to a gym and feed your Pokemon berries to to keep its motivation up.
That's what it was. The other items were HMs, which it would be called, they're called Fast HMs or Charge HMs, which would change your Pokemon's Fast Attack and Charge Attack.
Oh, nice.
And then there would also be berries that you feed your Pokemon that are in the gyms to help increase its morale.
Yeah,
so morale's not something they have in it already. It's going to be like the longer it's in the gym, say it's losing a lot, maybe its morale lowers and you feed it this to increase its morale or make it better in combat or something. I don't know.
Well, if it falls to zero, they just leave the gym and return to you. So
okay.
if you happen to be the only one in the gym then becomes vulnerable.
So that's cool.
And then fighting the gyms, rather than having like the weird level it has now, if you have this, you have 6 defenders. If you beat a gym, you'll get badges. There'll be bronze, silver, gold badges when you fight. Badges will give you greater and greater rewards with each rising tier.
Okay.
And then all gyms will also include a Pokestop.
Okay, I like that.
And then the last thing, this is all an article on GameSpot. The last thing was Niantic was asked about PvP battles and trading, and they said, "We're definitely looking into it. We're a small team. We're doing one thing at a time. Whether those will be our next thing or not, we still can't really talk about."
Yeah, if they're revamping the gyms, obviously they're gonna work on trading soon. But I think they're more worried about getting the legendaries out than they are worried about trading.
Most likely, because that's what people want to see.
Yeah, so once they get the legendaries out, which should be with this gym system, then it should be trading and PvP battles in field. But I can see that within the next 6 months to a year. Which, yeah, it might be a little late, or it might be a little long for them to incorporate something like that. Trading might be sooner. PvP battles might be a little bit longer.
Yeah, who knows? Before I go on to my next thing, do either of you guys have any news-related items?
I don't think I had anything saved, because I didn't remember seeing too much other than the IO split off and Diablo Necromancer.
I've got
ended.
5 more things, so.
Man, I slept from 10 o'clock last night to noon this morning.
Good for you.
No, I don't have anything right now. Right.
It's cool. Next thing I have should be actually pretty quick. David Cage confirmed that Detroit Become Human will be releasing next year, 2018. I don't believe it, but if he's saying it, that's pleasant news. I'll be pleasantly surprised if it happens.
Yeah.
So I know apparently it was leaked that it was supposed to release this year, and then Shuya Yoshida came out and debunked that rumor and said that that was a mistake. It's not coming out this year. So we'll see if it actually hits in 2018. I mean, the person developing the game saying it lends a little bit of, you know, weight to it. But at the same time, it's been in development for a long time. Apparently, it's a very complex game as far as development has gone. So we'll see if that doesn't end up falling apart, but, you know, just getting pushed back in general.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The next one's actually kind of cool in certain aspects. The Nintendo Switch had a new system update, the 3.0.
Oh, I got to update my Switch.
So it actually did a bunch of stuff, too.
Okay. Did it add Netflix?
It did not. It's never going to do this. Let's be real. So it did add a channel to receive news for specific games.
Okay.
You can also now add friends from your 3DS or Wii U friends list.
Okay.
So if you have people that you haven't been able to add to a Switch yet, that you know have a Switch, you should be able to add them that way.
Okay.
You can also get notifications when your friends come online.
Cool.
Now, this one's kind of neat, and it's something that I don't think I've seen anyone else do. You can find a controller that's paired with your system, as long as it's in range, by activating the vibration feature on it through the console.
Okay.
So, like, if you happen to have, like, your Joy-Cons not actually attached to your Switch, and you can't find one, apparently there's going to be a way that you can activate, like, a vibration on it and hopefully, like, narrow down where it's at.
That's cool, because, I mean, I have two sets of Joy-Cons, so...
Yeah. Just looking to see, like, there's six new Splatoon 2 characters you can use for icons. You can invert colors or grayscale the display. You can connect a USB keyboard to the dock so that you can type whenever the keyboard is on the screen.
Okay, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, and then apparently it will suggest deletion of software if you're running out of space also.
So it's like, you haven't played this in a while. You should delete it to save space.
That's what it seems like, yeah. And then they resolved an issue that caused game software updates to fail and then prevented it from being able to start afterwards. And there was like a weird HDMI issue with some TVs where it would just constantly tell you that the console was available, which it's apparently they fixed that also.
Okay.
So quite a big patch.
Yeah, it's what, 3.0 now is what it is?
Yep.
I think I just read that, yeah.
Let's see, what's next on here? This is another one you might care about a little bit, Rich. There's going to be a new standalone graphic novel starring Negan.
I would read that.
It's actually apparently like a reprinting of stuff that has been in the Image Plus magazine over the past year.
Okay.
Which I've never read the Image Plus magazine. I doubt you have.
No, I haven't.
But there's been a serialized story running through that like Kirkman and the rest of the creative team have all been working on this whole time. That
okay.
It tells the story of like Negan losing his wife, meeting Dwight for the first time, getting Lucille, becoming like the leader of the Saviors and everything.
Okay.
And that this graphic novel, it's called Here's Negan, I believe. Yep, Here's Negan. It'll be out on October 4th for $20.
All right, that sounds pretty cool.
Oh, I'm sorry. I actually just reread this a little bit. It'll be October 4th in comic shops, October 10th in bookstores.
Okay.
Because I think, it's the weird release schedule. Comic books get released on a Wednesday because they arrive on a Tuesday. Pretty much every other form of media is released on a Tuesday. So bookstores put out new books on Tuesdays. So okay. Comic shops will get the books late Tuesday to put out for Wednesday. Bookstores will probably get it late Tuesday, and then they don't release it till the following.
Yeah.
Because stuff's weird. But yeah, I think that's kind of cool. I wouldn't mind seeing more about Negan's past, especially because you never actually got around to reading all the stuff I gave you, right?
I haven't gotten around to reading that stuff yet. I need to like set stuff up and figure out my Dropbox password and this, that, and the other before I even can do it. But I should do it soon, eventually.
It's worth it.
Yeah, I've been missing those books. I've been wanting to read them. So,
well, get to it then.
I will. Look, I've been busy. I was just away for 5 days, and
oh, excuses.
And I have to help somebody move tomorrow. And
I thought you were helping somebody move on Saturday.
That's what I mean. Saturday. You know what I mean. Come on now. Come on, son.
All right. So, second to last piece of news: an unaired episode of Powerless, guest starring Adam West, has been released online. To NBC's YouTube.
Wait, in a Powerless with Adam West?
Yeah, Powerless, show that was on NBC that got canceled. Adam West filmed an unaired episode of that.
And it's online?
Yeah, it's on NBC's YouTube page.
I'm going to watch it.
Yeah.
Because I like that show. I thought that show was good enough to at least get a second season and let the characters come into themselves and get better. And
instead, it got like six episodes aired before it was pulled. But yeah, apparently, Adam West filmed this before he passed away, obviously, since the show was canceled a few months back. But it involves him. He is, like, the head of... I haven't watched it yet myself. He is, I guess, like, the chairman of the board for Wayne Industries, and after something happens in Gotham, he comes to Charm City, where the show takes place, to inform them that they have to start cutting back costs, which I assume it will involve, like, having to fire somebody, but they find a way not to fire them by the end.
Yeah, I mean, it's... common workplace sitcom right there.
Yeah, but still, you know, Adam West was always fun to watch, so that should be good to see.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then the last thing, Drew will be real excited for this. You ready for this, Drew?
Yeah.
Super Mario Odyssey is going to feature co-op.
Oh, I saw that.
Really?
Player 2 gets to control Cappy.
Yeah. Yeah?
Yeah.
I mean, in, what was it, in Sunshine, you could play co-op, and the person would control the cursor to collect the star bits.
Galaxy.
Yeah, that was Galaxy. Galaxy. Sunshine was GameCube.
Not Sunshine. Yeah, no. Galaxy. You know what I mean.
But so, have you seen the trailer for Odyssey? You did see that, right?
They had it on the Nintendo event, right?
Yeah, so your hat is kind of like, it's its own thing. You know, you throw it onto an enemy, and it lets you inhabit that enemy's body. Or not even enemy, just you throw it in at a thing, and you can become that thing with a mustache.
Yeah, like it's here.
It also seems like it's somewhat of a weapon, like you can throw it to attack.
Yeah.
But somehow, in multiplayer mode, you know, player one will still just control Mario as normal. Player two will have some range of control over Cappy.
That's cool.
Yeah. I mean, it's either going to be really cool or a fucking disaster.
I mean, I don't think it's going to be a disaster. It's going to be like, it's going to be for the couples that play games together, where one doesn't really play a lot of games, but still, like, they want to play together, Eric and Audra. And,
you're not wrong.
It's going to be, like, slightly gimmicky and just something to get two people playing together into. So if all you have is Mario Odyssey to play, at least you're both playing. I don't think it's going to be a disaster. It's just going to be a minor selling point to the game so that they can add that multiplayer tag to it.
So
and just let it be.
What it could end up doing, though, did you ever play New Super Mario Brothers Wii U?
No, but I know one person had the gamepad and touched the gamepad.
And you would put blocks down.
Yeah.
So I know Eric had this problem, and I know Erica and I had this problem too. It was very hard to sort of coordinate with another person on whether or not they needed help. So, like, if I was controlling Mario, for instance, like, Erica would see me go, like, running and jump, and since I played a lot of Mario, like, I kind of know just kind of like how far I can jump, because like most Mario levels, like I'm trying to think of the right way to put this, like the levels are designed in a way where like your peak jump is going to be enough to get you to like the next side or whatever.
Yeah,
like, it's just how Mario games are designed. Like you can just run through a level and you jump when you get to the edge of something and you're probably reaching the other side of it. Her not being as familiar with like the mechanics that way, you know, she would think that I was waiting for her to put a, like I was expecting her to put a block, so like she would put one trying to like help me. It would end up like messing up my rhythm, and then we would end up dying, and then like we'd switch off, and I'd end up doing like the same thing to her. Like she would be okay making a jump, but like I would like second guess it and like drop a block like underneath of her, and it would actually mess her up. So like there was a lot of that happening with the way they did that multiplayer in there. That I can see if you're trying to play this game where using the cap is kind of like an integral part of playing the game, that it could get awkward having two different people control basically one part of the same character.
Well, maybe you just need to communicate better.
I mean, that's possible.
Yeah. Work on your communication skills.
Talk. Talk with each other, Cobb. Don't just text each other. Talk.
But if you're playing games, you don't talk.
No. See, that's where you're wrong. If you're playing co-op games, you talk.
No.
Yeah.
No, you complete silence. You gotta concentrate. No. You have to focus.
You need to figure out how to solve the puzzles together.
It's
not
Mario.
By yourself.
There's not puzzles.
Well, obviously you're playing it wrong, because maybe there's hidden secrets in Mario that you need to get stuff done for, and you're doing it wrong.
You're grasping here. That was news. That was news, everybody.
Oh, I did just read something. I don't know if you read it. It might really only interest you, but and it's a quick article. Watchmen could have a TV series on HBO.
I did see that, and I didn't care, because Watchmen's not really...
Hey, I mean, I was like, I know it was a very acclaimed movie that I still have yet to see.
Actually, the movie's absolute garbage. Like, the movie, like, don't ever bother. It's so long, so bad. Like, just so much of it's just not good. The comics are all right. Like I understand why it's as sort of popular and like important as it is, but it's one of those things, like it's old enough now, and Alan Moore's writing, it's very kind of, so it's a hard book to get through.
Yeah.
Like it took me a long, it's not a lot longer than it should actually get all the way through it. because, like, you have parts that are interesting, and then there's parts that, like, are just super fucking boring. And those boring parts just seem to drag on fucking forever.
Yeah, true.
But what are you going to do?
Try reading it again?
I've actually read it twice. Like, it's not, like I said, it's not a bad book. It's just not something that I particularly enjoy.
You don't particularly enjoy it, but you read it twice. Okay.
Well, I read it once, and then because people said how good it was, I'm like, maybe I missed some. So I went back and, like, I reread it again, and it was still it just wasn't great.
It's maybe kind of like me with Blade Runner. I watched it once, hated it, never watched it again, but I'm like, maybe I should try it again.
Well, you have to watch the final cut.
No. Theatrical cut. If it's a good movie, the theatrical cut should have been perfect.
No, because even the people that made the movie say the theatrical cut is bad.
Then why did you release the theatrical cut?
Because the final cut was too long, to at least according to the production company.
Yeah, like, I thought it was like a narrative. Like, there was a narrator in it, in one of the versions that wasn't in the original version, or
no, so the
something like that.
The director's cut was what the director wanted to put out originally, but for some reason it became, like, the theatrical cut was what was released, which has voiceover that makes no sense, and has a couple of scenes that they have a few scenes that make no sense because the scenes that they are, like, derived from were cut from it.
Okay.
So there's a bunch of stuff in the movie that literally has no point because you don't know why it's happening.
And then, yeah, like, I hate that.
Apparently the director's cut is a little bit better, but the final cut is actually exactly how it's supposed to be.
You know what? Star Wars original cut is exactly how it's supposed to be.
Nope.
So
nope.
Obviously nope. Star Wars is the best.
Nope. Han shot first.
Well, Han always, no. Shut up. Han shot. There's no first because Han shoots to kill. He doesn't miss.
And actually, I got that wrong, because I meant to say Greedo shot first.
No, fuck you. That cheap-ass, horrible Photoshop job they did where they move his entire body sideways. Just like a 45-degree angle curve. And
it was 1997.
No. That was recent that they did that.
No, that was 1997, buddy. That was the special editions.
I don't remember seeing that Han shot in the... See, here's the thing. At any time, I always heard the argument that Han shot first. I didn't know they were talking about Greedo, because I always saw it as Han shot Greedo. I never, like, even the special editions, I don't ever remember seeing Han being shot at by Greedo. The only time I thought they were complaining that Han shot first was when they were on the Death Star, they run into the group of stormtroopers and start running away, and then Han starts shooting. That's where I always thought the argument of Han shot first was deriving from, until it was made note to me that it was about the Greedo thing, and I saw the video of Han curving, which I thought that was only put in during the DVD sales and not the special edition.
Nope, it was special edition.
The DVDs are the special editions.
The newest round, like the Blu-ray releases, or no, I'm sorry, the DVDs actually included even more stuff, because the DVD releases also included the very last scene, well, not the very last scene, but at the end of Jedi, when they show the three Force ghosts, and it includes Anakin, they, like, moved the scene over and put Hayden Christensen instead of the original.
All right. Let me put it this way. Since the special edition has come out, nothing has not been at least the special edition.
That's true.
Well, I mean, I thought the Greedo shooting first was added during the DVDs and not the special edition. I thought they added that during the DVDs, because, like I said, I watched the special editions. I do not remember ever seeing Greedo shooting at Han until I saw it on YouTube.
Well, you also have to remember, like, you were a lot younger probably at that point, and, you know, it probably wasn't something that you necessarily wanted to pay attention to, because you'd seen the movie before, like, you knew the scene. So all you expected was the Han shooting Greedo.
Yeah. On shot.
But so, what did you guys do this past week?
I played some new stuff.
Bullshit. You played Rocket League?
Nope.
And Doom?
I played Doom.
Oh, good.
I did put
right.
that in. I finished Uncharted 4.
Oh, wow.
I put that shit on light and just powered through the last, like, 7 chapters of that game.
Bitch.
The combat in that game fucking has always sucked, and that's what I just didn't feel like dealing with.
I never had an issue with the combat in any Uncharted games.
It's bad.
I've never had an issue with it either.
Like, there are parts of it that aren't necessarily fun, but, like, the shooting mechanic never felt bad.
Yeah, it's just, like, the enemies are bullet sponges on difficulties starting at normal and above. Like,
headshots, buddy. Headshots.
Yeah, except the dudes with all, like, towards the end of that game, basically everyone's wearing headgear of some sort that stops that, and, like...
You're not wrong.
It's all ridiculous combat puzzles. Like, if you're not sneaking up on the first person exactly right, like 98 dudes come at you from literally every direction, so good luck taking your time to pick off all those headshots.
My favorite part in that game, though, was that, like, early on, when you're I want to say it's when you're, like, in Scotland or England or whatever, there's that one area where a bunch of guys come kind of from, like, two different directions. I ended up just running to the edge of a cliff and hanging off the cliff and used that as my cover. Like, so I just hung off the cliff. Nobody actually ran all the way up to me, so I would just pop up every once in a while, and then hang back down.
Sounds about right.
I think you guys just don't know how to play those games right.
No, that was the one. There's always, in every one of those games, there's that one section where if you happen to die, your respawn is just in a really shitty spot, and there's not a good way to then get cover without, like, getting killed again. So, like, that happened to be that one for me, and the easiest thing for me to do was, like, hang off the cliff and just take the guys out from there.
Yeah, and, like, I've just kind of grown tired of the Uncharted formula, and just, that's why I never finished it, like, 6 months ago, or...
A year ago.
Like, I just got to the point where I was tired of the jumping puzzles and how the combat in that game goes.
So, did you not play the Tomb Raider games?
No, I haven't. I have whichever one was free on PS3, but I haven't played it.
I mean, that was just Tomb Raider.
Yeah.
Well, what did you think of Doom?
Doom is really fucking rad. I finished the first mission, and that was all.
Okay. That's enough to get the gist of what that game is.
Yeah, and I mean, I had played the demo before, and yeah, just that game is so fucking metal. Like, you get into a combat and just crazy, ridiculous metal pops up, and you're like, all right, yeah, shoot some dudes, and then go punch their head off in one shot.
Yeah, that game really does have just a great fucking soundtrack.
Yeah. And I also played this game Brigador on Steam. One of my friends sent me a code from the Humble Bundle he bought. Brad, I think, played it on one of the UPFs. It's like a top-down... Or, well, like, an isometric view, like, mech game.
That sounds weird.
Yeah, kind of like old, like, use WASD to move, or you can also play with a controller, and then the mouse is your aim. So, like, the top half of your mech will turn independently of the legs, or you can be a tank, or there's also, like, a floating car mech, I guess, if you want to call it. And they all play slightly differently. Like, the floating thing can go over some barriers, whereas the tank or the, like, two-legged mech has to shoot them or stomp them or destroy them in whatever way. I played through all the tutorial levels, which are, like, here's five levels with the walker, here's five levels with the tank, here's five levels with the floating one, and then it goes into a set where you can pick which one of those you want to use, and it seems pretty cool. Then there's also, like, a skirmish mode where you can, like, completely customize your mechs with different weapons and different special abilities, different looks, which I haven't messed around with. But it's pretty all right.
That sounds pretty cool.
Yeah. It's, like, I'm going to say it's normally, like, $15 on Steam, but it's pretty cool. Nice art style. Good shadows.
Sounds fun. I haven't played a good mech game in a while.
Check it out, Walnut. It's pretty cool. Like,
I'll try.
Just go find, like, the trailer or whatever and see if you would like it.
I ain't gonna find shit. I'm gonna find sleep when we're done this.
Yeah.
No, I'm actually gonna upload the 600 pictures I have on my
nice
camera, which some of them aren't even from this past weekend.
And then the last thing I played is I played a little bit of Killing Floor 2. It's one of the free PS Plus games.
Yeah, how is that?
It's alright. It's a zombie shooter team game. There's apparently a single player in there that I didn't even notice was a thing, other than, like, the tutorial. But it was, like, kind of crappy Left 4 Dead.
That's kind of disappointing.
Yeah, I mean,
it didn't look that good to me when I downloaded it, so I'm like, I don't even think I'm going to play this. I think I might just delete it.
I'd say at least, if you've already gone through with actually downloading it, I'd say at least try it.
I have so much other stuff to play on there, though.
Play it for 30 minutes. Like, I'm going to say I played like an hour or so. It's fine, but not... I definitely wouldn't have fucking paid for it.
Fair.
That's it. That's all I've played. Pretty much all I've done.
How about you, Rich? We know you went to Firefly. Would you like to tell us about that, or do you want to give us any of your E3 impressions? You can only do one.
Well, then I'll talk about Firefly, because...
What a douche.
I've been sleeping the past 2 days, so I didn't watch anything E3 besides the Nintendo event.
Oh, you didn't get a chance to watch any of the stuff last week?
No, I was busy and running around like a chicken with my head cut off getting stuff ready.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Acting. Yeah, I had a laundry and shit to do, and I was expecting somebody to come and visit this weekend, but they had to cancel over the weekend, so... I was like trying to get the house clean and stuff as well, which the house isn't clean anymore. So it was a crazy couple of days, but I'll talk about Firefly because Firefly, it was awesome. Yeah, I saw a ton of bands. Like we said at the beginning, I saw 30 Seconds of Mars and they put on a terrible show. To get the bed out of the way, I saw 30 Seconds of Mars. I thought was horrible. Bob Dylan was garbage. Like I have pictures of Bob Dylan playing, and he was the only one on at the time that he was on, so everybody went and saw him. So it made his crowd look bigger than it actually was, but it was only that big because there's no one else there. But everyone was just sitting there watching him. The cameras, they have two monitors set up next to the main stage so that people far back can actually see the performers performing. Well, the camera, they had one stationary camera set up. It was about 50 feet away, which is on the sound booth, and that's it. And it was just him sitting there either on a piano or on his guitar singing songs with his backing band. And it was boring. Like, I fell asleep.
Yeah, like, I've never been a fan of his music.
No, he's a songwriter, not a performer. And he shouldn't have been there. I don't know why he was there. I don't know what compelled... This year was... quote unquote fan curated, and I don't know any fans that actually requested Bob Dylan. Just like I was surprised to see 30 Seconds of Mars there, but from what I hear, they're touring with Muse, so that's why they were there, because Muse was there. But he was not good. I mean, I'm glad I got to say I saw Bob Dylan for two songs. I got to see a legend, but I really didn't get to see much because A, I don't know any of his songs, and B, I bullshit the entire time he was on there because it was not good. You could barely hear anything because he was singing so low. You could barely, you couldn't see him if you were more than 30 feet back because that's how far back his camera was. And so if you're 3 football fields away or however, a football field and a half away, trying to see him on these monitors, you can't because the camera's 30 feet away. It's like, it was terrible. He just doesn't sound good either. I mean, he sounds like Bob Dylan, but worse. So it was just not good. And then one other performer I saw that wasn't a good experience was Waka Flocka Flame.
I have no idea what you just said.
He's a rap artist or a hip-hop artist, Waka Flocka Flame. We were making fun of his name the entire time. This year was very rap-oriented. So on Sunday, I was like, I'll go see Waka Flocka. It's either them or I think it was the Strumbellas, which, I mean, I really didn't know. Who was on during Waka Flocka? I don't even remember who was on during Waka Flocka, but I think he was on by himself. So it was like there was really no one else to see while he was on, so I just went and saw him. And he didn't play any of his own music for the 20 minutes that I was there to see him. And by the time he was done, I was like, let's go see 30 Seconds of Mars, which is going to start just as soon as he's done. So let's get a decent spot to see them for. So we, was it 30 Seconds of Mars or was that Mr. Wise? I think that was 30 Seconds of Mars at that time. So we walked back to the main stage and watched 30 Seconds of Mars. And Waka Flocka, just like I said, he didn't do any of his own music. He played the beginning intro of Let the Bodies Hit the Floor, I believe, for like 30 minutes or like for like 3 minutes and then just cut to another song, but didn't actually sing it or perform it of his own. It was horrible. Let's see, who else was bad? Kesha was bad.
Who would have thunk?
Well, I mean, look, she is a songwriter. She's written her own songs. I believe she's written all of her own songs, as well as songs for like Britney Spears, Katy Perry. Not Katy Perry. I think Katy Perry writes her own shit. But like, she is a songwriter and she's a talented songwriter. But because of this whole lawsuit she's going through still right now, she's limited to the songs she can play. So in her hour and 20 minutes, I think she got extra time because she was later on in the night. In her hour and 20 minutes, she may have only played about 8 songs. In similar to 30 Seconds of Mars, she would stop the song within a minute, start talking again. She would keep talking between each song. Like, she was doing her whole pop routine, but she was trying to do like a rock cover of her shit. She was the worst Kesha cover band I've ever seen.
Oh, man.
Yeah, it was horrible. Like she was doing a whole rock concept instead of like her poppiness. So she had like, she was playing guitar and stuff. And like, look, I feel for her how she's kind of trapped in her record label or whatever. It sucks. But like, she wasn't really that entertaining. She sang 8 songs in the hour and 20 minutes that she had. It was like garbage. Then the funny of the bad. I mean, the Shins, we saw the Shins. They weren't bad. But nearing the end of their set, they were like, we're going to sing to you a new song. This is a song about fear. And for all those people who don't understand because they're fearless, fuck you. You have fear because, you know, one day you're going to die. Your family's going to die. Your wife's going to die. Your kids are going to die. And it's just like, bro, really? Like, this is Sunday. We're all beat to death. And you're going to start bringing us back to the real world by telling us that everyone's going to die? Come on, fuck off, dude. Like, I was like, really, bro? Come on now. But they were like a nice calm set while they were on there until they sang that song. And then I was like, I don't care anymore, guys. Let's go somewhere else. The good, though, because there was a decent amount of good that I saw. I finally got to see Kaleo, which they've been around for a couple of years.
Never heard of them either.
Neither.
If you listen to MMR, which I'm assuming you don't, they do the song Do You Know Good.
You know, I stopped listening to MMR like 4 or 5 years ago because they don't play nearly like enough different music. Like, you hear the same song like 4 or 5 times a day, and it's usually not a good song.
No, I mean, they've kind of changed their formula lately, though. And like, Kaleo does a song, Do No Good or Do You No Good, I can't remember. But it starts out with a decent guitar riff. I don't really feel like mimicking it right now.
Come on.
Fine. It goes. It goes like something like that.
I think I know that song.
Yeah, they do that song and a bunch of others. They were supposed to be there last year, but the singer came up with a vocal or throat infection of some sort and had to be rushed to the hospital and couldn't perform.
Well, that sucks.
He had to cancel a bunch of shows, which was last year's show. So they made good and came back this year. I got to see OAR, which they're fun. They're jam bandy-ish. I wouldn't say they're great, the greatest, but they put on a good show to where I wouldn't mind listening to them more. And if the tickets are reasonable, going to see them. Let's see. I got to pull up the lineup because it's been a long weekend. I can't really remember everyone I saw. I saw AFI, which they put on a really fucking fun show.
Their new album is kind of weird, too.
I don't know if they played a lot from the new album because it's a festival, so you play the hits.
Yeah, and I was just saying, like, their new album is not, like, they definitely went in a very different direction. I only listened to, like, 1 or 2 songs off of it, and they weren't bad. They just, it was drastically different from, like, the AFI I'm used to.
Yeah.
Especially, like, the AFI that, like, I still listen to, like, the stuff from, like, the late 90s, early 2000.
Yeah, it was it's a shock to see a band like AFI there because they are a lot more hard and heavy.
No, they're not.
Well, based on whoever else is there, though, like freaking Kaleo, OAR, Jam Band, then you got Weezer, Franz Ferdinand, OK Go, like, and then you have AFI. AFI and 30 Seconds of Mars are the two heaviest bands in the whole thing. And I don't count Muse as, like, a heavy band.
I hate Muse.
I fucking hate I don't think they're good at all.
There was that one song that MMR kept playing over and over again, like a number of years ago.
I think that's what made me fucking hate them.
No, I don't like Muse. I don't like Tom Petty. And there's a few other people that MMR just constantly fucking played that I just can't listen to anymore. Like, it actually irritates me to hear their music.
Yeah. I mean, I don't hate them. I think musically they're all talented, but I won't go out of my way to listen to them. But they put on a good enough show to where I would go and see them if the price is right.
Yep. No, I literally cannot listen to them anymore. Like, if I hear if I hear like a song of theirs and I recognize it, I turn it off immediately.
Yeah. I mean, I can get that. It's not for everybody. It's my my one buddy I was there with. He was like, look, I recognize their talent. I just can't stand the singer. His voice is just does not do it for me. So I just can't listen to him.
It's like Dave Matthews Band. Like, I understand that all those guys in that band are talented, but I'd rather kill myself than ever listen to another second of their music.
Oh, I can listen to their music. I just don't like the guy. I don't like Dave Matthews. Even though he's a very charitable guy, he used to not be. And I just don't like him, so I don't really listen to the music that much.
Can't stand his voice. Can't stand the songs they put out. Like, just, like, it actually makes my skin crawl when I hear his voice.
I hate Dave Matthews fans.
Oh, no, his fans are 9 times out of 10 complete douchebags also.
Yeah, I can't stand the fans, so it hurts the music. But their fiddlest or violinist in Dave Matthews, I can't remember his name, he's got a pretty decent side band that he's in that I like. I can't remember the name of it, though. So let's see. So Kaleo and OAR was Thursday. I don't recall seeing anybody else that day unless it was just in passing. I missed seeing the Lawsuits, which is a Philly local band. I kind of wanted to check them out. I think they were Friday morning. I can't remember, but they were just a small local band that played in a small stage, so it wouldn't really have mattered if I'd seen them. But Friday, I got to see, like I said, AFI, which put on a really damn good show. Franz Ferdinand, which was fun. I knew a lot more songs than I thought I did of theirs. And then I got to see Weezer. That's the second time I got to see Weezer, and it just, I had a ball in time at Weezer. But we had, I don't know if you've ever seen any footage from festivals or anything, but we had a totem this year that we brought with us. The thing on a pole so that people can find us. And it was a picture of my cousin's head. And because he couldn't show up for stupid reasons, we decided to torture him a bit by making a Twitter and Instagram for this head and not tell him about it until midway through the show. Once he started seeing pictures of it, he'd be like, what the hell is this? So we had this sign. We were near the front of Weezer and Franz Ferdinand. We were maybe 20 feet from the front, maybe even closer. I can't really remember. But we're standing there, and between Franz and Weezer, people start shouting, move the sign, move the sign. There's nothing going on stage. People start shouting, move the sign. So me being that guy, that sarcastic dick, I lift the sign up and I start waving it left and right, taunting them. They said move the sign. They didn't say where to. So then they start chucking beer bottles and shit at it, hitting other people. Security goes to them, starts to yell at them, and then comes to me and is like, you got to move the sign. I'm like, it's in regulation. Why do I have to move the sign? Just lower it. They want you to lower the sign. I'm like, fine, I'll lower the sign once the band starts because I won't be able to see through the sign. I'm raising it back up. So I did that. And then after Weezer, they start shouting, move the sign again when there's nobody on stage. And there's at least 15 signs around us as well. It's because our sign is an inside joke amongst us and not something that anybody actually gets. They were upset about it. And yes, I admit it was probably blocking them, but there were other signs. We were just the closest up. That's why they had a problem with it.
Sounds like you guys were just being assholes.
No, other people have signs. There was some people that had a fidget spinner sign. They had a sign that literally sat up and spun. And we found a sign somebody had that was the Rock's face. Our sign was just as big as the Rock's face, but people were yelling at our sign and not the Rock's face.
Was your sign potentially blocking the camera?
No. It was in the camera, but it wasn't blocking the camera. We were far enough up to where the camera could get the entire scene and our sign as well. it wasn't, we weren't like right in front of the camera where, I mean, and staff would have told us like, you need to move the sign, you're blocking the camera. We would have moved the sign, but it wasn't staff. It was people 10 feet behind us who couldn't see because they're only 5 feet tall in a crowd of 6 foot tall people or more, or well, in 5'5", 6 foot tall people that they couldn't see because there was a sign and they were trying to look up, but they could see underneath the sign. They were trying to see over the sign. I don't know, but there was a lot of people hating on the sign while we were in the crowd. I mean, I understand it might have been blocking your view a bit, but you started shouting to move the sign when there was nobody on stage. If there were people on stage, okay, I would understand that, but when I had the sign, I was respectful and had the sign sideways while there were people on stage. So that, because it was just a flat sign. If I turned it sideways, you could see perfectly. Now, yes, I would constantly spin it so that people around could see, and I'd wave it around and lift it in the air, but you could still see through the sign. And also, it's music. You don't need to see music, so you got to chill. But so after Weezer and before 21 Pilots, I took the sign and I walked out of the crowd because it was giving me anxiety. They were throwing shit at us, hitting other people, and just like, we were so far up in the crowd, I hadn't been able to sit down for about 5 hours. And once Weezer ended, everyone crowded the stage, even though 21 Pilots wasn't going to start for at least another hour and a half. And I was like, I need to move. I can't breathe. I'm too hot. So I walk away with the sign. People start cheering. But then I had other people like, why are people hating on the sign so much? I love the sign. I'm like, I don't know. The sign's great. I had people all weekend whenever they saw this. I was like, that's the best sign ever. I was like, thank you. Thank you so much for telling me that, because it almost made me have a panic attack on Friday. But it's just a stupid sign on my cousin's face that we tried to have fun with. But then I saw 21 Pilots, which they put on a fantastic show. That's the second time I've seen them, also at Firefly. And each time they just put on a fun show. They're very like crowd reactive. They know what they're doing. And they know how to get a crowd going. And their light show was spectacular.
Well, that's good.
I was far back for them. Because for the main performers, I tend to try and stay back enough. Because I know their light show is great. And I have some awesome pictures of the stage and the lights going off. And like they're like full on like beams of light going all the way back to the forest behind us and stuff like that. They did Heathens, which is the song from Suicide Squad. And the lights were green and purple for Joker. I thought that was pretty neat when they did that. But they were like such a fun show. Saturday, I didn't really see much of anyone. I wanted to see T-Pain. I missed them because the line was too long. I saw like a song of the Capital Cities. Bob Dylan sucked. Kesha sucked. Didn't get to see Chance the Rapper, but I heard he was awesome. I did get to see The Weeknd, which the best explanation is The Weeknd is like Michael Jackson, except he sings about hating women and doing drugs. So essentially Michael Jackson, just less open. And he was good, but wasn't anything I was really super into. I can't think if I really saw any. Oh, I also saw DJ Jazzy Jeff on Saturday.
Well, that's kind of cool.
Yeah, he was playing, the best way to put it, is he plays all the songs white people love. So he was up there doing his whole DJ thing, like scratching the records and all that, just playing random songs. He did the Fresh Prince. He did like the first bars of the Fresh Prince song, or the first first verse. That's it, of Fresh Prince. And then just a bunch of songs that like white people love. And it was he put on a very fun show, but he straight up did a DJ set. It wasn't really anything else. He's not a rapper. He's a DJ. And it's actually Jazzy Jeff from Fresh Prince. Saturday was kind of a bust day, though, because it was like there was threats of rain the entire weekend, but we lucked out and it only rained once Saturday morning from 5:30 till about 7 in the morning.
Oh, that's not too bad.
No, not at all. Especially when like our campsite's so decked out. We have a canopy set up that's like a you would set this up if you're doing work on your car outdoors. It's like a big white canopy or like a banquet tent or something like that is what it might be called. And our tent is also a big tent that it's a cabin tent that fits about 8 people comfortably. and there's only five of us. So we were pretty set up well for the rain, but our neighbors had a tent that was apparently 20 years old, and the rain just went straight through the tent. They did not know what...
Huh? That sucks.
Yeah. So they did not know what they were doing for camping at all. They had a charcoal grill, which you were not supposed to have. You're not supposed to have any open flame in the campsites because, let's face it, it is a tent city out there. You do not have open flame during a tent city.
Well, you do. You just make sure no one sees it.
Well, yeah, but I mean, they had their charcoal grill with very high flames right underneath their canopy, their 10x10 canopy.
Ugh.
It was like right above, like it could have lit on fire at any second.
So they were just not good at life.
They weren't good at any of it. They were terrible at camping. And I hate to be sexist or whatever, but it was five girls, had to have been no older than 18. Honestly, had to have been no older than 17. And one slightly effeminate, possibly homosexual guy that's never camped before.
So how many of them did you hit on?
None of them, because they couldn't have been older than 17 or 18. I was like, I'm not dealing with that.
18's legal?
No. I don't want my opening line to somebody being, hey, my name's Rich, how old are you? Like, that's just no, because I don't, that's 10. All right, that's 10 years. 10 years is fine, but that's 10 years of, did you just get out of high school? Because if you did, I don't really know if I want to deal with that. But yeah, so they were up as soon as it stopped raining, even while it was raining, they had gotten up immediately and started packing up their shit. They weren't being quiet about anything. They were being loud, like, yeah, we're going to get this done. We're going to get that done. Let's pack up, get all the wet stuff in these bags, blah, blah, blah. Packing all their shit up and leaving camp at Saturday. They knew somebody that lived nearby that they could go and spend the night and then drive in to the festival the rest of the weekend. But it woke me up at 6:30. And
from that
point on, I was awake. So I was up at like 7 out under the canopy with everyone else in my camp sleeping, sitting there eating a bowl of cereal as I'm watching them like pack up. The one guy looks over and he's like mimicking me eating cereal, laughing. I'm like, yep. And he's like, what are you going to do? I'm like, nothing. I'll just sit here and watch you guys. It's pretty fun. But it sucks for them. It sucks for me because I was up at 6 o'clock, couldn't get back to sleep. So I had to call it a night, and that's why I couldn't, like, I made it my goal this weekend to close out Saturday night, and I being up as early as I was, I couldn't.
You bitched out.
Not really. I mean, my back was hurting from, like, sitting on the ground too much and not getting a chance to lay down much, and I was tired. I was a little cranky from two people in the campsite. They might have been a little cranky, which essentially residually made me cranky.
I'm just hearing excuses.
No, and look, I would have been up from 6 o'clock in the morning until 2 o'clock in the morning. I've done that before. I can't do that now. I'm 20, almost 29 years old. I can't do that. Too old for this shit. And then Sunday, this closes out the weekend. Sunday started off fantastically, but terribly at the same time. Because Sunday is the day I got my terrible sunburn that still hurts. Not as much as it did. Only on the shoulders. I wore sleeveless shirts all weekend, so I kind of figured I'd get burnt at least one point. But I got to see Busta Rhymes. He was the first artist I saw. He was the first artist to play the actual festival on Sunday, and he put on a fantastic show, even though he was 30 minutes late. And then he got mad when they were trying to rush him off stage because he was going 10 minutes over his time. Because he was 30 minutes late. He was like, they're trying to rush me off stage. Well, yeah, they're trying to fucking rush you off stage. There's another performer starting in 45 minutes. They got to break down your shit and set up theirs. And then do a sound check before they can even play. So, of course. But he was a fun show. He built up hype and he just... It was awesome. But man, did he get fat.
Did he really?
Oh, he got huge. I got tons of pictures. You'll see him when I post them on Facebook. He's got a gut. I mean, this dude's 50 years old, still calls himself the kid. He started telling a story, and this is obviously fake, but I was hoping this was his explanation as to why he was late. But he started talking about how there was a girl who bought her tickets and then started working stuff so that she could get backstage, and she went backstage to meet up with him. And she walked in and she started touching up on him, feeling up on him. He's like, you're going to talk to the kid like this? All right, you're going to get it from the kid. I was hoping he's going to be like, and that's why I was 30 minutes late. No, he didn't even. It was just like, it was his lead into a song. So I'm like, obviously that's fake. Because, I mean, yes, you're Busta Rhymes, but I don't think anybody's going to go for a 50-year-old shit like yours. When you're.
You don't know.
When you're as chubby, as fat as he is now, like, he looks nothing like he used to. Nothing like he. And he's not muscles.
Rich.
He's not muscles. He's fat. And I'm not trying to, like, body shame. I'm just saying, like, he changed a lot. That's what happens when you do nothing but drink and do drugs, I guess. But Busta Rhymes was fun. Then I got to see this, I wish I knew the name of the band. There's a local band, or a band with one performer who's from the Westchester area that my friends knew. And they were kind of like a fusion of rap and ska in a way, maybe. They were like rap and singing, but they had a horn section. Like, they had two trumpets and a flute. No. Yeah, a clarinet, maybe? No, not a clarinet. Maybe it's a flute. A long flute. And it's a piccolo, I think. And then they had a piano, a bassist, and a drummer. It was a really neat sound. I don't remember their name. I wish I could plug them here. I think it's like Hard Work something. I can't remember. It's not on my lineup that I'm looking. But then, like I said, I saw Waka Flocka Flame. He was horrible. Got to see the Mr. Wives. They were fun. I don't think I got to see the Bleachers. I might have. And they were kind of cool to see. I think I saw them once before at my first Firefly. And then the Shins, I told you that they had their ridiculous on stage presence. And then Muse, which just put on a fun show. Like their effects they had, and the stuff they did on the monitors were pretty fun. At one point, they had mocap stuff set up to where if they were moving, on the screen behind them had hands like marionettes moving them the way they move.
Oh, that sounds weird.
Yeah, it was really cool. I missed it. I think I had, like, turned my head or started saying something to somebody with us when they were doing it. I completely missed it, but apparently it was really great. And overall, it was a fun show. The lineup was very lacking, though, and supposedly next year is going to be quote-unquote fan-curated again. So, depending on the lineup, this year might have been our last year, unfortunately.
Oh, that kind of sucks.
I mean, we had, let's see, two people weren't interested at all for Saturday. Two to three people weren't interested at all for Saturday. At least one person wasn't interested yesterday. These are expensive tickets. $330, between $250 to $360 to get these tickets. And that's just the base. That's not even VIP or anything. To be stuck out for 5 days in this heat. And it got hot on Sunday. Like, most of the weekend was supposed to be rainy, and then it wasn't rainy. It was just humid, and it's a lot of money to put towards, and then to have an entire day where you just don't care kind of is a letdown. So we're hoping the lineup gets better. But I mean, we also know that the show didn't sell out, which it has the past 3 years. It didn't this year, but it felt more crowded. But there was a lot more younger people, and by younger I mean under 18
there. Oh wow,
there was a lot more under 18. There was a lot more like parents with their kids there. I swear it was like because 21 Pilots, Kesha, The Weeknd, I'm Weezer, like a lot of people left by the end of Saturday, and then a lot more people left after Waka Flocka Flame on Sunday. But it was just there was the best way to put it, our running joke this year, like every year we have a running joke. This year, our running joke was, you know how I know we're old? And we were old because we got out of there about 9 o'clock yesterday morning, which we usually don't get out of there till about 1-2 o'clock because that's when everybody else starts leaving. You're supposed to be off your campsite by noon. We were off our campsite by 8:30 and out at IHOP by 9.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, which, like, it was insane. Like, there's so many kids there this year, and it's getting a little hard for a lot of us to do it. Plus, at least two of us are, two of the people that were with us are getting, obviously, they're getting married together, getting married to each other next year. Their wedding is a month after Firefly, so they don't the wife doesn't want anything to happen to any of us during Firefly to might cause us, because we're all in the wedding. So no like unsensible sunburn or anything. So we're probably taking at least most of next year off. If we don't go to at least one day, we're going to take a good we're probably going to take next year off of the show. And unless it's a really great lineup, which we're not expecting it to be, unfortunately. And since they didn't sell out, if they're still going to do the fan curated thing, that means stuff's going to get more expensive. I mean, plus side, they did give us bigger campsites this year, which we had so much extra space for activities. And then when our neighbors left, we almost like we practically had bunk beds because our neighbors left because we had that much extra space. But it was like we spent most of our time hidden under our canopy playing different card games than we did actually like doing stuff. The biggest note is 4 years ago when we first did this, did you take your shot before you leave? This year it was, did you take your allergy medicine before we left? That shows it's like, all right, maybe we might be getting a little too old for this stuff. I couldn't drink all weekend because I was on antibiotics because I had a damn sinus infection.
I mean, that doesn't mean you're old. That just means you had an unfortunate time to get sick.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I will say, like, I've been doing the whole gluten-free thing because that's been making my stomach feel a lot better. I have not had issues. And the great thing they do is they have it so that there are gluten-free options there. And I was able to eat all weekend without having to worry about messing up my stomach, which was fantastic.
That's good.
Yeah, and like they have liquor there, and there's a few liquors that you can drink. Being gluten free, you can drink wine. They actually have a wine bar there, so like there's a lot of stuff that like they cater to gluten free, to vegans, to vegetarians, as well as to just normal people as well.
Yeah.
I every year I go into the silent disco, which is you put headphones in and you walk into this thing. They call it the thicket, and it's literally a bunch of people. It's completely silent, but you can hear them singing whatever they hear on their headphones. There's two channels you can switch back and forth on. Really fun. It's two DJs DJing up on there. It's a really fun thing to do when you got nothing to do, like listen to Bob Dylan. So you go in to do that.
Yeah, I've seen those things like on TV shows and stuff before.
Yeah, it's really neat. So we were in there for a bit because I knew I was going to do that for Bob Dylan. I am upset because they took away the beercade. But we figure they did that because it was too expensive to run it, because they have to have it air conditioned because it's indoors.
Oh.
And so it's expensive to run the air conditioning all day with the electronics running, because there was also a lot of people that went in there not even to play the games, but to charge their cell phone because they had charging stations set up in there. So they took that away. They have water stations set up throughout. I'm trying to think like pluses and minuses. They had this new thing called the Fort, which was essentially just shipping containers packed on top of each other. Wasn't really anything special. It looked cool, but it really didn't provide much shelter or anything from the heat or whatever, because it was two shipping containers facing forward and then one on top of it facing sideways, but you could not go into them. You could not walk past them or through them. They were closed up and just set up there, called the Fort, with a bar behind it that you couldn't even go into. It was, again, just a closed-up thing. It was really dumb. They move things around because I think they're doing renovations to the campgrounds or the grounds themselves. But, I mean, it was a fun time. I am going to miss it if I don't get to go back. But that just means it opens up space to go on a different vacation next year, or a different kind of festival, maybe. We might be looking into, there's one in Canada that we were looking into going to a couple years ago. If they still do it, maybe that. Maybe we'll look into like Bonnaroo or something. Who knows? But we're probably, if the lineup for next year isn't that good, probably not going to go next year, which sucks.
I mean, it's better to save your money than go see bands that you don't like.
Yeah, exactly. Like I said, it's minimum $300 for us because we get the premium campsite. And it was total, for me, it was total $560, because it was $180 for the campsite, and that includes food and drinks and stuff like that we pulled together, plus the $330 for the festival itself. That's just so much money. It is, but at the same time, how much money do you think you spend at Otakon?
Not that much.
$60 for your ticket. $90 for your room, but your room was overstacked. So that's $150. Then you were spending probably, let's go two meals a day, $20 a meal, something like, or not $20, $10 a meal. So $20 a day, and that goes Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and maybe Sunday, depending on when you actually decide to leave, one or two meals each of those days. So that's 2, 4, 6, 8. That's $80. So that's already what, 60 plus 90 plus 80.
That's 230.
230. Then you have to pay for camping, or not camp, for parking, which is generally probably about $20. So that's 250. $20 per person. That's about probably about 250. Then so like it's
about if half.
Well, again, we get the we pay the extra money for camping and stuff like that. Like,
so, I mean, to be fair, I just want to throw this out there. When we were going to Otakon, I was poor. I know for a fact I was going down there with less than $300 and making it the whole weekend.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
I didn't have money, so like there was like one or two years where like I had a little bit of extra, like maybe I had like birthday, but for the most part, like I was going down there with.
I'm just saying that like. You're spending if we didn't get the bigger campsites, if we just the base campsite and didn't get didn't spend as much on food or drinks, which we got brought home a lot of drinks this year because I couldn't drink and stuff like that. I mean, we could have brought the price down a little bit more, or if we had
I was just talking like the cost of the concert is over $300. That's what I meant was a lot of money.
Well, yeah, the cost of the concert was a lot of money for three. It's $300. Like I said, it's $250 to $300, depending on when you buy your ticket, plus fees and whatnot. But it's if it's a lineup that you are pumped for, then it's worth it because it's also if you like just going to music and going to these things and hanging out, it's worth it. But if the lineup's not going to be that great, which we're expecting it not to be next year, it might not be as worth it. And with, like I said, they didn't sell out this year, so they might increase prices next year to overcompensate for that.
Yeah, like I don't think I've ever actually seen them have a lineup that like I would be willing to spend over $300 for tickets for.
Well, our first year with Foo Fighters, Outkast, Jack Johnson, and Gambino. I mean, I went there for Foo Fighters, but then I saw like there was Weezer and there was a couple of others that I liked. I went there just for like one or two bands. I left with a fandom of at least 10 to 15 more artists that I'd never heard or listened to before. And even the second year with Paul McCartney, I'm trying to think who it was. It was Paul McCartney, Kings of Leon, and The Killers. I couldn't care less about Kings of Leon. I knew a Paul McCartney ticket would be expensive no matter what. So to see him at a festival would be a really good experience, and it was. There was a bunch of other bands that were there that I liked. It was worth it.
The last time I saw Paul McCartney, I got two tickets for $85.
I mean, that was when was that? Was that when
last year?
Was that his? That was his latest show.
Yeah, the last time he was in Philly.
And how high up was that?
We were in the lower level.
$85.
Yeah, StubHub literally has the gates open.
Yeah, like you can get good seats, and like.
But
yeah.
Also, that was like the face value of the.
I was about to say, whose dick did you suck to get those tickets?
I bought them on StubHub.
I mean, I know that, like, I mean, ground level, like on.
The we weren't on the field, but we were in the lower level. We were in the lower bowl on the third baseline. Basically, as close to the stage as we could have been.
Wasn't he at the football?
No, he was at Citizens Bank Park.
He was at the.
Nope.
Are you sure?
Yep.
He was there.
I was there.
I know, but I could have. I'd never thought. Thought he was at the link.
Nope.
But no, I mean, I know like there was ticket like the base price from Ticketmaster for like. On-field tickets for McCartney were like $160.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, but that seems accurate.
But I even like all right. So for you, $40 for McCartney tickets though. Look, I saw McCartney. I saw The Killers. I could have seen Kings of Leon. I don't really care about Kings of Leon. But Kings of Leon, I can't remember who was there. But tickets for those three alone, 40, 40, and probably 40, so that's $120.
But like, it comes, I think it comes down to like what you actually want to see. Like, I wouldn't mind seeing Paul McCartney. I would spend $160 to see Paul McCartney. I'm not going to spend $300 to see Paul McCartney and a bunch of other bands I don't give a shit about.
Well, yeah, no, but that's why it's like, it's, do you like the festival experience? Are there other bands there that you want to see? Stuff like that. The first year I went for one band or two bands, and that was for Foo Fighters. But I left with a whole bunch of other fandoms. The second year I went and I looked more into the lineup, and I was like, there's a bunch of bands I want to see. There's Paul McCartney, which I wouldn't mind seeing. I'm not going to say I have to. The last year, though, was the start of, I don't really know about the lineup anymore, because last year was Kings of Leon, because they were making good from being rained out the year before. There was Florence and the Machine, which was just garbage and boring, and I fell asleep during her.
No, Garbage is a different band.
No, I don't mean Garbage as in the band. I mean Garbage as in literally she sucked.
Oh, you know, I don't like Florence and the Machine at all.
But then Mumford and Sons, which really like brought it back for me. But then there was the secular, like the behind, like the other bands was what I was more so for last year, because that was the year they had Blink, they had Silver Sun Pickup, they had Death Cab for Cutie. I can't, like I said, there's so many bands. I saw the Wombats. I can't remember. There's like I said, there's so many bands I see each year. I would have to relook up the set list to remember exactly who I saw, or go through my Facebook pictures.
Well, do you have anything else you want to say about Firefly?
If you're under 21, please don't go, so that makes us old people have a better time.
Well, then Firefly will be closed after next year if that were to happen.
No, I know. I'm kidding. But it's a good time. If you like music festivals, you should check it out. But stop throwing beer bottles at my face. Not my face, my cousin's face.
Nah.
Actually, no, I lied. If you see my cousin's, you can throw beer bottles at his face. But at my sign, don't throw them at his face.
Okay.
But that's about it. I don't think I really did much else in the realm of nerddom. I didn't get to go through E3 yet.
I would say at this point, Sony's worth checking out the trailers for, and Ubisoft, Microsoft actually wasn't bad either, but EA wasn't really worthwhile, and you can look up the Wolfenstein trailer from Bethesda. That was really the only thing of note that, like,
yeah.
I will say I really did like Nintendo's press conference, or their event. I had a lot of fun stuff on there, like the Mario Odyssey, the announce for Metroid Prime 4. And then they didn't have this on the event, but they're remaking Metroid 2 or something like that.
Yeah, we went over all that last week.
Yeah.
But yeah, they did do it. Theirs was actually really good. It was short. Yeah. It showed the games. It moved on.
Yeah, and I can't wait for Pokemon on the Switch.
In 2 to 3 years.
I think it'll be 2 years.
Probably two. I threw out three just as a, you know, if they run into any problems trying to get it to be a... Because, like, honestly, if they're running on the Switch, hopefully it's not just another, like, DS game, basically. Hopefully it's actually taking... It's actually using the power from that and doing, like, a nice-looking JRPG.
Yeah.
Which, you know, the first time doing that sort of thing, you know... Maybe they run into some snags. Maybe it has to get pushed back a little bit. So, like, 2 to 3 years, I hope.
Yeah, we'll see.
But, yeah, I actually didn't get to do a whole lot this week. I bought a new car on Saturday.
That sucks.
Yay!
Nah, I mean, it didn't cost me any money. I traded my car in. I got a new car. I make the same payments. Well, I'm paying $15 extra a month or something like that.
You see, this is why I don't get a new car, because I don't make a payment on my car right now.
I was already making a payment, and I had 109,000 miles on my car.
Yeah.
And I drive a whole fucking lot for work.
Well, you should make work compensate you for those miles. And
they do.
Pay a little bit of your car payment.
Well, no, but like I get reimbursed for mileage.
Yeah, I know you do. I'm just saying.
Plus, because I use my car for work the way I do, I can actually write it off in tax, like write off this purchase in taxes to an extent.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's a 2017 Elantra, so it's literally just like an upgrade from my previous car, but it's got like it's got Android Auto in it.
Okay.
So I can actually like it's got the screen built into it. I can plug my phone into the USB and like run Google Maps and everything right from my car.
That's cool.
Yeah, it's pretty neat.
Other than that, I mean, I started watching the most recent season of Orange is the New Black.
Cool.
I think we're like 7 episodes into it. It's a very different season, especially because it's picking up from where last season left off, which was a cliffhanger. And it's pretty good so far. I don't know if either of you guys watched that show.
No, I watched the first bit of it with Sarah. Sarah usually plows through them like the 2 days they come out.
And leaves you in the dust?
Yeah.
What about you, Rich?
I've never watched it. Never really had too much of an interest in it.
It's actually pretty good.
All right.
You not having cable, it's, you know, if you need something to watch, it'd be worth checking out.
Yeah, I'm a loser that started watching Friends.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
That's depressing.
Yeah, I know.
Did you ever watch Parks and Rec?
I did.
Okay, the whole thing.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm just making sure. I'm making sure you watched that before you fucking watch.
I watched all the important stuff.
Oh, you man, fuck off. Friends is good.
You never watched.
Friends is good.
Wait, you never watched fucking Breaking Bad either.
I said I watched all the good sitcoms.
Okay, have you watched Fuller House season 1 and 2?
Yes.
I
didn't say they were all good.
I see. I don't hate Friends. I was just like, I don't know. It was never like a show I particularly. So like once in a while, like TBS or whatever runs a whole bunch of them on the weekends, mm-hmm. and occasionally that's like the last channel that was on, so that's like gets turned on first thing in the morning. Like I watch it, I'm just like, this show's super dated now because it's been off the air for almost 20 years.
Oh yeah, it's really dated.
I didn't really like it when it was on, and I still don't really like it.
It brings me back to a simpler time
when you were 8.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, other than that, like I've been reading comics. I haven't really played a lot of different games. I've been playing a little bit of Fire Emblem on my 3DS. But that's about it. It's been a fairly slow week for me. I also hurt my back. So this has been a really painful fucking podcast.
Why did you hurt your back? What did you do?
Cause he's old.
Yeah, basically when I was cleaning out my car, like getting all the shit out of the trunk to trade it in. I must've like strained something the wrong way. Because, like, I was doing everything and I was fine, and, like, I as I was finishing up, like, I noticed, like, my back was just, like, feeling stiff. And then, like, within a few hours, like, I was just in a pain if I sat down and stood up or anything. And, like, it was really bad over the weekend. Like, Saturday and Sunday, like, it was excruciating. It's getting better now. It still hurts. Like, particularly, like, when I'm sitting in this office chair, I luckily this mic stand is, like, clipped on my desk and I can raise it up and down. So, like, I can stand up for a little while and, like, sort of, like, stretch and then sit back down after it starts hurting again. But
you're on a computer chair. I'm relaxing on my couch.
I mean, I could have done it on the couch, but this way, like, the dog doesn't get in the way or anything.
I know.
But, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't have a whole lot else that's really going on. I hope to play some games this week. I might actually check out Wolfenstein, The New Order, because The New Colossus just looked really interesting, and I kind of want to see what The New Order was before that comes out.
Nice.
It's a good game. That's what it is.
That's what I've been hearing. And I got it during one of GameStop sales, like either this past Black Friday or the one before it. And I keep meaning to play it, and I just kind of like kept forgetting about it. But yeah, so I'll probably check that out this week.
Uh-oh. Urgent news. The Han Solo film lost its prequel, or lost its directors.
I did see that while you were talking about Firefly. I totally forgot. Yeah, they apparently, it was once again creative differences.
Yeah.
So, I mean...
Once again, did it already happen?
Well, I mean, just, like, as far as, like, that sort of thing goes. Like, you know, it's always creative differences when, like, somebody leaves, like, a film project. But the directors actually said, you know, as cliche as it sounds, it really is the case. And I guess I totally forgot the directors for that were actually the guys that directed the Lego movie.
Yeah.
Right.
And then I saw something very briefly that it looked like maybe they might be going over to The Flash, or like they had a meeting potentially about The Flash. I don't know if that's just rumor, but cause they didn't. The Flash movie currently has no director, I believe. So they might be going over there now.
Okay.
Who knows? I guess we'll find out next week when something's made official, most likely.
Yeah, we'll see.
But yeah, I guess that is the show, everybody. Thanks for listening. If you'd like to find more stuff from us, you can head over to www.one-quest.com or podquest.club or unclebabywalnuts.com. They all go to the same goddamn place.
Yeah, we have too many URLs.
We don't have enough URLs. You can also find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play Music, and all those other fancy podcasting apps, except for like Spotify and SoundCloud and shit. We don't use those. Just search One Quest, PodQuest, any of that stuff. If you can rate us, review us on those services, that would be swell. We're on social media. You can find us
on Twitter, at wonder_quest. We're on Facebook, facebook.com/onequestonline. And that's the show, everybody. Oh, and you can email us, social@one-quest.com.
I think that's it.
Yeah. We'll be back next week, probably in person, not over Skype.
Hopefully.
And, yeah, until then, we will see everybody next time. Bye.
Bye.